Okay, today is Wednesday, May 29th. This is the Women's Chumash Shir. We're up to the middle of Perek Yud Ches, of Sefer Bereishis. Okay, Rabotai. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Bereshit Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Yud Bet. However, I want to begin with one He'ara. It was a very powerful Orach Chaim on the last phrase of the Pasuk, which we concluded last week. We had a lot of difficulty with. And he says something, some would say outrageous. I think it's courageous for him to say that. So, if you remember, we struggled in Pasuk Yud as to what is the reason why the Torah reports to us about something, the Petach HaOhel V'hu Acharav. Who cares where he's standing? According to Rashi, where the tent was, what difference does it really make? And we didn't find anything terribly satisfying. Until this week, I saw the Orach Chaim, and on page 53, those were the numbers from yesterday. Last night's game, which they lost, hadn't been played yet, but I prepared this yesterday, and the night before, 53 played a major role, like all the pitchers did. That was Mr. Britton. So, if you look at the Orach Chaim on page 53, he cites Vira'iti b'midrash. I couldn't find it in the Midrash, but there are thousands of Midrashim. Ki af al pikein. Despite the fact that 53 on the left-hand side in the middle of the Orach Chaim, despite the fact that these angels seem to be doing exactly what they have been told to do, nonetheless, nit yaser hamalach. Mazat, what do you think the word nit yaser means?
Imprisoned.
What?
Imprisoned.
Okay, that's is a better word. It comes from... comes from the word Musar, was rebuked. Nit yaser hamalach. When the angel came back up to heaven, he was rebuked. Why? Al asher lo diber habisura mipiv eleha v'diber l'Avraham. Because this angel was a frumi. I don't talk to women. So...
angels have free will.
That's another good question.
Let me get some of these. I'll put them on the.
Sure.
Thanks.
So number one, that's also a very important point. Apparently, they have a right to do whatever they want. V'hamalach hamilachim ye'anshu al hashogeg v'al shinui kol shehu. Even if you wanted to make a claim that he wasn't a frumi, he just made a mistake. He was talking to Avram the whole time, so he decided to tell him. Either if that a casual, innocent mistake, shogeg, or any deviation whatsoever, the slightest deviation whatsoever, he is to get a punishment. So the Torah is reporting to us that through this little statement, that he is standing and the door is behind him, and who's standing behind the door? Sarah. Well, why isn't he speaking to her directly? So in a disguised manner, the text is telling us that this angel did something terribly wrong. So you want to know why I say the door is here, the Hu Acharav?
Who's the Hu?
Okay, so it could be the Malach, It could be the ohel that we saw last week. There are a couple of things.
Right, okay.
So the simple reading is that the angel is behind the door, and then Sarah is on the other side of the door. Why doesn't he open up the door and go to Sarah? That is being held against him. And that angels are punished for not fulfilling their missions exactly in accordance with the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigned. Now, nowhere in the text did it say where or when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told these angels to do anything. So he's assuming an awful lot. He's making an assumption, number one, that these three people are angels. We've seen that thousands of times. They're not ordinary individuals. They're angels. And that the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was transmitted in one fashion, and they deviated. He deviated. And I want to let you know, in a very subtle fashion, that he's not doing things properly. And therefore I tell you, here is the door, and he's acharav. He's behind the door. Yeah.
So he's implying that Hashem actually told the Malach to speak directly to Sarah.
That is not implying. He's saying it. He's not implying it. He is saying exactly that. That's why I say some people would say that's outrageous, and some people would say it's courageous. There are times in Tanakh where Rashi will make the comment where the message is intended for the woman, but somehow the man gets to hear the message, and Rashi will comment, it's not appropriate for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to talk directly to women. Rashi will say that. Yeah. Yes. No, but there was also a malach, which Shimshon was a malach.
It directed to her.
And the malach spoke to her. And that's the way it should be.
Right, so I think maybe after this, we see a different change.
Good. Maybe malachim lost their... They learned their lesson. They learned their lesson. Speak to the vav, and that's it. Otherwise...
What about Hagar? The malach appeared directly to Hagar.
Correct.
Yes.
Right? Well, that was... Yeah. There was no other one else to get involved. She is alone. She's sitting out there. The Malach has no alternative. Has to speak to Nahalah. Here, he decided, I'll tell Avram. So again, we struggled. I found this, and I think it's very bold and makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense in the flow of the psukim.
Rabbi Adler, would you be responding to the fact that from now on Hashem is going to talk like this Malach?
Okay, we're going to talk in 2 seconds. It's going to say the Vayomer Hashem al Avram. Everybody say it's a malach. Just the opposite of what you said. Even though it's, we'll get to it in 2 seconds. But it may not be next week because that's a pasuk in the nut. That's probably next week's pasuk. Vayomer Hashem al Avram.
If not next month.
So Legas Amani Kashula.
Another lesson also in Shaliach Teleshaliach. He's not telling Sarah directly. Can you? If he gives information to Abraham,
good.
I wonder if
there's a halacha. Yes, there is. There is a debate whether shliach osa shliach or ain shliach osa shliach. If I have been appointed by an individual to take a ring in order to betroth a young lady, am I permitted to designate an agent on my behalf who will fulfill the mission? Or you have that by a get very frequently. A get is delivered by shliach, and the bezdin appoints the shliach, and the husband in the presence of the bezdin. And then there is a machloikis whether shliach osa shliach or ain shliach osa shliach. So the logic is, what's so terrible for another person to pass it off to another guy? And the response is, I, the sender, don't have confidence in everybody. I have confidence in you. And therefore you, the shliach, has no right to pass it on to somebody else. But it's an excellent point. It's an excellent point. Good. Lamagain Vaiter. Lamagain Vaiter. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Avraham v'Sarah zikenim. Avraham and Sarah have reached old age. Ba'im bayomim. It's an unusual phrase. Have arrived at days. Ba'im, I'm just translating it loosely. Or literally, I should say. Chadal lihiyot l'Sarah orach kanoshim. Sarah stopped having the normal way of women. She never had a period, or she doesn't have a period any longer. So if you take a look at, let's start with, like we always do, we'll start with Rashi. He doesn't make anything unusual. Chadal lihiyot, pasak min mena, orach kanashim, orach nidot. Fine. Very simple pasuk. The problem the question which many raise against Rashi is that Rashi himself chose the Midrash a couple of psukim ago. What did Rashi say about this very topic? What did Rashi say about this thing that Rashi just commented here? What did he say two psukim earlier?
That she had returned to the Ora.
Correct. And that's why what had not been extended to the angels?
Bread.
The bread.
She didn't serve them bread.
She didn't serve the bread that she had made because she became a Nida and the bread was Timea. And as a result, these angels were only wanted to eat thing al taharat hakodesh. Everything that, even though there's no prohibition in eating something that is Timea. What's happening here? What's happening here in this regard? So we'll see. Someone will try to comment and defend Rashi. Yes.
Yeah, it seems that it's sort of like an aside. In other words, this is what had taken place before. Now it started again, but this is what was happening before.
So then she, even before the angels informed her of having a baby, she already started having a period.
No, that's not.
Because the text tells us that they brought the meat, right, and the chema, but they did not bring the bread. So Rashi asked, why didn't they bring the bread? So all the simple Pashtanim said, of course they brought the bread. Because the bread is the main part of a meal, and it said that Sarah prepared, or was asked to prepare, Shloshim Kamach Lushi Vasuyu Goat. So we can assume she made it, and it was brought to the table. Of course the Torah doesn't have to tell us about it. But Rashi went out of his way to cite the Midrash that it was not brought to the table.
Right.
So then, why wasn't it brought to the table?
Okay, I'm not saying that, what I'm trying to say is that in Rashi's defense or his explanation is that this pasuk is like an aside. In other words, so it's like a past history kind of pasuk. Way past.
But it's not didn't happen right now?
No, it didn't happen right now.
So then why didn't they how does it answer why they didn't bring the bread? How does it answer they didn't bring the bread?
I'm just saying what happened between the years of 50 and 90? Dalio,
right? Orach Kanashim.
But 90, she started again, and that was the miracle.
So when did this miracle take place?
Sometime before the Malachim came. A short time.
Okay, so that's. Okay, fine. I hear. Good. So you're explaining that it's not actually a contradiction in Rashi, because Chadaliot L'Sara is describing what's been her pattern of behavior for the last couple of years,
right.
50, 60 years.
Correct.
But right now, things have changed.
Right.
Things have changed. Good. So, good. So, okay. Good. It's good. I like that suggestion. Very well. I like it a lot from a pshat point of view. However, I want you to take a look at two psukim later. Next pasuk Yud Bet, and tell me what would you expect? What surprises you in light of what you just said? Tell me.
Why is
she laughing? If she already had her period, she should realize, oh, something startling is happening here. And now they're telling her that what? They're having a child? Maybe that's what's happening to me.
But her husband hasn't been rejuvenated.
Okay, but that's... Okay, so... But, good, good, right. She says, Va'adoni zaken. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But she also says,
Edna, exactly. It's a good suggestion. I like it. That's the only thing that would bother me about it.
Right.
Unless she thought it was just a rare
occurrence,
right. But now she's going to go back to being
maybe
the Alta Sara.
She has to go visit her gynecologist.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. But that would be the issue. But that's how Rashi simply approaches it. Mm-hmm. Simply approaches it. If you take a look on page 75 for a minute, so if you look at Ibn Ezra's comment on Ba'im Bayomim, and Ibn Ezra, as you well know, never quotes a Medrash, and he simply says Ba'im Bayomim, it's an unusual phrase, and he says Higi'o Liyomim Rabim. Right? Does anybody know another phrase where this phrase is used? Yeah, Ba'im Bayomim. Va'avraham zakein ba'yamim in Perek Chaf Dalet, after Sarah dies. So it's a common phrase, not terribly difficult to understand. However, others are a little troubled with it. Others are a little troubled. So if you take, for example, Chizkuni on page 54, on the next page, he makes a long song and dance out of it with a very interesting perspective. Again, I don't think it's the pshat, but nonetheless, fine. And he writes, on the right side, towards the bottom, Chizkuni. So he first asks, why does the Torah have to report twice that Abraham reached old age? Here and later on, after Sarah dies, that's his question. Mimashma shene'emar v'Avraham v'Zara zekenim. Once I have been told that Abraham and Sarah have reached old age, ma Talmud lomar likaman v'Avraham zaken v'Abayamim. Why does the Torah have to repeat this information at the beginning of chapter 4? Ella says Chizkuni. Melamed shehechziro hakadosh baruch hu lina'aruto. What happened to Avraham? He was able to hit a ball. He was able to hit a three without any problem. Well, how else is he supposed to know that he feels like his youth has been restored? He can hit a three. Does anybody know what a three is? A 3-point. I know you know. That's all. 3-point shot if you hit behind the arc. There's a little arc passed on there. If you hit that, it's not 2 points like a regular basket, it's a three. So now he feels invigorated. Vitzarich lichtov pam shnia, but after Sarah died, he couldn't hit the side of a barn with a basketball. So now he suddenly experiences, once again, zikna. That's why the Torah repeats it later, because there was this transitionary period from which he was old, became a heck of a ball player, then was into retirement. But now he makes a very sophisticated point. Zikeni ba'bayami. Mitchilat ha-sefer ad kan lo timsa zikna kituva b'shum adam. From the beginning of the Torah until this point, the word, the concept of zikna has not appeared once by any human being. And we know they lived inordinately long lives. You read Bereshis and Noah, which we did, and we see there are people living 968 years, 800 years, 600 years, hundreds of years. And the concept of getting old does not appear. Does not appear. So what happened when Metushelach, the longest living human being, reached 968 years? What happened to him? He just dropped dead. That was it. He didn't age slowly, gracefully, or terribly. The way he was at 130 was the way he was at 500, and the way he was at 968, still knocking down threes. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's it, you're going into retirement, and that's what happened. However, Ad Sheba Avraham, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avraham complained, registered a complaint with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'amar, Ribono Shel Olam, Adam Ubino Nichnasim L'Makom Echad, Ve'ein Adam Yodeya Et Mi Yichabed. A parent and a child is standing right there, and we have no idea who should be respecting whom. Why? Because they look the same, they feel the same. In fact, the father shooting percentage could be higher than the kids. What a rub, what a dig against the kid. Your father is a better shooter than you are.
More experience.
What? A lot more, I know. Yes, shouldn't be so surprising. Yeah. Umitoch she'atam mi'atro bizikna, but once you crown mi'atra atara, you crown a human, one of them, with what? Old age. Adam yodeya lemi mechabed. Now the kid figures out, oh, he can barely pick up the ball. He's getting old. He's deserving of some respect. I swear by your life, davar tov tavata, you requested something highly logical, something very good. Umimcha hu matchil, and it's going to start with you. You made the request. You asked for it. You got it. And therefore, the idea of zikena is only recorded, not by Noah, not by Adam, not by any of their 20 generations from Adam until Abraham. Abraham is the first person to experience zikna. Now goes the Midrash, and Chizkuni takes the opportunity to quote the whole thing. Mitchilat ha-sefer ad Yitzchak, lo kitiv yisurin. From the beginning of the sefer until Yitzchak, no one is ever described as engaged in suffering as they go through their life, whatever number of years they've been allotted. No experience of suffering whatsoever. Ad Sheba Yitzchak V'tava Yisurin. But Yitzchak came and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to torture him a little. Omar Lufanav, Yitzchak said to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Ribon HaOlamim, Adam meit below yisurin. If a person dies without having experienced any yisurin, midat hadin mituha kenegdo. Then what happens when he reaches the Olam HaEmes? The first thing that approaches him is midat hadin. I have to seek retribution for all of the inappropriate actions you've done your entire life. And I have nothing that took place during the course of my life which would serve as an act of kapara. Amalafanov. Okay. Umitoshata mevi alav yisurin ein midat hadin mitucha kenegda. But if you do suffer in this world, that silences the midat hadin, and when you get upstairs, the first person who you meet is not the Midas Hadin who is now going to the Rabbeinu Shalom and say, it's time to compensate for all the wrong. You have been wronged and tortured up until now, and hence It's not such a terrible thing.
What does mituch mean?
Stretched out. It's what's stretched out kinegdo.
What's the root of
that? Matach means to stretch out. It means it's blocking your way. It, there's Mr. Midas Hadin. He opens up his little music box and his little accordion, and he's standing right in front of you. That's what it means. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha, Davar Tov Tavata. Excellent idea, Yitz. U'mimcha hu matchil. And we're going to start with you. As it says, Vatichena Einav Meraot. He's the first person to experience blindness, and many years of his life he can't see, and it's not for physical torture the way we think of physical torture, but it is a tortuous life not to be able to see, you know, not to be able to see. Just one second. There's a young man today at YU. He goes around speaking at many yeshiva high schools of our community. What? He became blind later in life. And there's a couple of people in the shul who are very friendly with him, and one of them just told me that he had taken him out to a restaurant, and he said, okay, let's go home. And this young man tells the individual, and he says, you know, when you get home, you have a choice. You can watch TV, you can read, you can even stare at the walls. I can't even stare at the walls. Expressing his little anger and a little frustration. I can't even stare at the walls. What a description about the handicap of being blind. I can't even stare at the wall. So for, you can obviously, the torture, you know, he's a big Balmamin, there's no doubt, but the torturous feeling that he expressed to a, you know, to a friend is abundantly evident. And that is a form of Yesurin. In fact, Chazal, throughout the Gemara, always try to picture terrible things that happen to the Tanayim, Amorayim, who say, and their students say, what are you getting all upset about? This is an opportunity for Yesurin, and you are going to simply increase your reward in the world to come, because the Midas Hadin is not going to be able to counter you. And many of the Amoraim were so honest, painfully honest, and say, I couldn't care less about Olam Haba. Just give me some Olam Hazeh. And that happened to Rabbi Yochanan when he buried 10 of his children. He predeceased, his children all predeceased him. And he was in agony. He almost lost his mind. And his students said, you're getting Yesurin. You're going to increase your reward in Olam Haba. You know, and that's, the Gemara is trying to teach us, that's the wrong thing to say. And he said, the very famous, lo miduv sheikh, v'lo me'uk tzeich. I don't need your honey, and I don't need your sting. I'll trade any one of my 10 kids for all of my Olam Haba. All of my Olam Haba. But Chazal tried to make it a little more tolerable by expressing what they called Yisurin Shel Ahava. You're suffering, and one accepts them with the fact that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible, and that you hope he'll accept it as some degree of kapara for your inappropriate activities. It's a very difficult message. Yes.
And that would be applied first to Abraham, who's the first one, and it also can be applied to Abraham and Sarah, because it says Abraham and Sarah came in by
the
king.
Yes, good. And the be careful
what
you wish for. It's good. I hear what you're saying. It's just a little difficult to say that Abraham is the first tzaddik when the Torah says Noach ish tzaddik tamim hayav
adavata. But nonetheless, Abraham is considered superior to Noah.
Yeah, so no doubt. No doubt. I hear. And finally, they complete the story with Yaakov. Yaakov Tova Choli. Nobody ever got sick. until Yaakov comes around. Omar, Ribono Shalom, Adam Meis below Choli, Eino Mityashev Bein Banav. He has no idea when to decide, gather your children, give them a little pep rally, or tell them what's going to happen at the end of time, which Yaakov wanted to do. But at least if you get sick, you know, you can somehow feel, oh, this is my time is coming. If you get sick, you don't die instantly, but you can live for a couple of days. Next page. Bein Banav, page 57 on the right. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Chayecha Dover Tov Tavata Umimcha Hu Matchil Hadahu Dechsiv Vayom El Yosef Hine Avicha Chole. Lo and behold, your father is ill. Nimtza Avraham Chidesh Zikna Shinem of Avraham Zakein Yitzchak Chidesh Yisurin Shinem Arvahiki Zakein Yitzchak Batichene Meiv Leros Yaakov Chidesh Choli Kedechsiv Hine Avicha Chole, Avichu Chole. Yeah.
I would explain this about him by your own again, that your days are numbered. It's getting closer to the end of the day.
You can sense what's happening.
You have a sense.
Right. Good. Yes. Now, Chizkuni goes ahead and says, you know, the simple reason to resolve the question of Rashi. And he says, same thing on page 57, Sha'ar Nashim Zikenot, other elderly women, Ein Lehen Veset Nidot, they don't have their regular periods. Vizo Hoita Zikna, and this Sarah was old, Upirsa Nida, Kamosha Pirish Rashi, Vayika Chema V'chalav. Rashi said, he took the butter and the milk, but he didn't take the bread because the bread became tomato. So he doesn't ask that question. So why is she laughing? Vatitzchak Sarah Bekir Balei Mor, unless he will say, you know, just a rather odd occurrence that she suddenly had her period. Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe it was more of an odd occurrence that she stopped getting her period because in those days when people lived so long, they really.
Okay, that's a very good question. But Sarah is not, she's not living 900 years. She's not living 300. I know, but it's 127. So at age 90, it's a good point. People lived a lot longer at that particular time. But then what is the Torah reporting? Chadaliot, it was an unusual phenomenon that she should have stopped having her period because most others still had their period? Okay.
The reason she's laughing is because it's happiness that her period is back.
That's very creative. But I don't have any source to back it or to challenge it because I don't know what was happening at that time. It's a good question. Yes?
If you just baked all those chimes and all of a sudden got her period and they're not eating it, she wouldn't be laughing about it.
Well, she'd just say, I'm eating it.
That's the pragmatic.
Yeah. Now, there is a midrash that also comments on the fact that it's Zikenim Ba'im Bayamim. Take a look at page 77 for a second. If you look at the first bracketed line, Vayom Ve'Avraham V'Sara Zikenim, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kvar Kosav V'Avraham V'Sara Zikenim. Ma Talmud Loim of Avraham Zakein, So the first answer is he's going to give the same one that we saw before. Ella, hechziro hakadosh baruch hu lena'aruto. First, hakadosh baruch hu made him young again. Lefikach tzorach lichtov pam shnia v'avraham zakeh. That's the first answer. Now comes the second answer, which we have not yet seen. Amar Rab Ami, kan zikna shiyesh ba lachlachit, lehalan zikna she'ein ba lachlachit. Anybody want to take a stab at that? What is lichluch?
Dirt.
So what does that mean? There's a zikna with dirt and a zikna without dirt. What does that mean? What I think it means is something which is a reality. Some people age. They can be very old, but they age gracefully. They still have their faculties. They don't need an aid to help them get in and out of bed. And other people, you know, are not even as old, and they really are experiencing all kinds of difficulties. So the reason why it says twice, once Avraham was what? Was old, and he was still, but aging gracefully. The other time when it says Avraham Zakein, it means you can tell he's already an Altayid. He's already an Altayid. An Altayid. So the way this midrash orchestrates it, is that here at this time, here it was the ziknash yesh lachlachit. So until now, when he was aging at the earlier time, right here, he started asking the same question 200 times. Sarah, where's my phone? Where are the keys to the car? 1,000 times asking the same question. And the next time, and now God makes him back into a na'ar. What does it mean makes him back to a na'ar? You don't have to say that he can hit 3-point shots. But suddenly, he's aging gracefully. Aging gracefully. And that he can do everything that a senior citizen, many senior citizens, couldn't do. Then, Avraham Zakein, the Torah reports, when he gets to be older, Sarah had already died, and he passes his life. What type of zikna has he reached? Because of this event, that God made him once again into a na'ar, so the ziknut which he experienced earlier, the ziknut of forgetfulness and not having much of a strength, that was repaired when he's now having a baby, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows a father, any parent, has to be able to have some degree of strength in order to handle a child. And that's what the Torah reports later on, V'Avraham Zakein Zikna She'ein Ba Lichluchit. Yeah.
Keturah, he marries Keturah after the second attack of age.
I know, but that's what the Medrash says. That's a zikna she'ein ba lichluchit. He's reaching an old age, but he can still function like a regular human being. No forgetfulness.
After Sarah died,
that's the Torah is reporting.
Again, returned.
No. He didn't lose it. Once God changed it here with the arrival of a baby, that degree of awareness is with him. Yes. Satisfied his,
and this is where his Yerusha is going to go. Well, she has no reason to believe. I mean, he's recovered from surgery.
That's good. Correct. I would love to accept what you said, but God didn't read it that way, because he's going to come to Avram Lamas in Tupsukim Lamas et Sachaka Sarah Lemar. Why is Sarah laughing with a complaint? apparently she didn't, that's not what's running through her mind, at least that God didn't think that's running through his mind, and that's why he's coming with a taina. Based on your read, there'd be no reason, it's perfectly logical, there'd be zero need to attack Sarah for laughing. It should be just like you said, it's perfect. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming running, or the angel coming running here to, why is Sarah laughing? They didn't read it that way. But I'm not saying it's wrong. I am not saying it is wrong. And when people get old, earlier than you expect, somebody in the shul came to me and said, I'm really experiencing, you know, that which people identify with dementia. And he's only 60 years old. Wow. And the doctor said, you have the oncoming of Alzheimer's at 60 years old. And he's, you know, and I met with him and his wife, and his wife gives me examples of things he just can't remember anymore. It's so frightening to him. So frightening. And it's really terrible. It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Quick question.
Sure.
You could obviously tell me that I'm totally wrong.
It's okay.
But, with little feet, I was wondering if it could come from the root of the word lach, meaning moist.
That's what a chet.
It is. All right.
Thank you.
So,
yes.
That's all.
Right?
That's a good
reason. That,
so then, if you come from a Chassidish background, you'd say, Dikduk, you're learning? How can you say that? Dikduk. So, it's the famous thing that Remez Lechanukah Minat Torah. Because it says, Baha'alotcha et Haneirot. Baha'alotcha at the end. Cha is with a chet, that's eight candles. It's not with a ches, it's with a chaf. Dikduk, you study? Dikduk, you study? And I'm, you know, Rabbi Kairos studying Dikduk. Good. Now, there are two other things that I want to show you. Yeah. If you take a look at the Ramban for a minute. Take a look at page 75 for a second. 75. I did not bracket it. It's on the Ramban, the last line of the Ramban on that page. It says, Pasuk Yud Aleph Ba'im Bayamim. I bracket it on the next page. Everybody have it?
Yeah.
On page 75, right hand column, the last line of the Ramban, Ba'im Bayomim, says the Ramban, Ha'adam bimei bachurotav yikra omeid bayamim. A child, an individual during their youth, is never described as ba bayamim. He's described as omeid bayamim. V'yikru yamav, and they are called his days, kihem shelo. He owns, he's in control. As it says, kilashon et mispar yamecha amale. Now, mispar yamecha simply means, I will fulfill your days. But the Ramban's not putting the emphasis on fulfill. That God promises, I will, if I had in mind that you're going to live 118, you're going to live 118. That's the simple pshat. But it's yomecha. The days are yours. Namely, whether I choose to engage in activity A or activity B, hakol talui B. Everything's up to me. Aval kashe yazkin v'yichye yamim rabim. May rov b'nei ha'adam bidoro, but when a person outlasts the average age of every person in his generation, then, says the Ramban, yikra ba bayamim. That's the phrase ba bayamim. What does it mean? Mipnei shehu kiba be'eretz acheres nosea me'ir ubar el ir miyom el yom. What does it mean? What does it mean? It says if somebody is traveling, and every single day, what happens during the course of his day? He's always traveling, coming into a new city. Nobody recognizes him. Nobody pays any attention to him. And the phrase, ba bayamim, is in contradistinction to omeid bayamim. I had the same reaction that you had with your face, yes, indicating, why didn't the Ramban find a pasuk that would indicate that the days of a child are described as omeid bayamim? That's what I'm asking that question. I don't know. Yeah. Normally, he's very good at supporting quote me a pasuk anywhere in Tanakh that omeid bayamim is used in the context of a younger child, and that ba bayamim is a senior citizen who's outlasted everybody. I don't know where he got it from. But at least you should know it. It is the Ramban. Because the phrase ba bayamim, we find other places in Tanakh as well. V'hamelech David Zakein ba bayamim. We find that in Malachim, in the context of David HaMelech. So that's a phrase that has much support and documentation. I can't recall, and the Ramban didn't help us, of finding a pasuk where omeid bayamim is used in the context of somebody who has vigor and youth. Haven't seen it. That's the Ramban. Then there is a final point that I want to show in another medrash. Excuse me, the Rivah. If you go to first page 11, Tana of the Baalio. And the Tana Beilio uses this phenomenon of the physical change of Abraham and Sarah in a most unusual fashion. Tana de Beilio is a school. Tana de Bay means it has been learnt in the school of Eliyahu. So according to tradition, Eliyahu had a little school where he would train Nevi'im such as Elisha and others. And while they were in this school, they came up with lots of cute little ideas, which somebody decided to write it down. Trust me, Elio was not a teacher in a school. But we call it Tana de Beilio. Va'avraham v'Sarah holchu eretz Canaan. This is talking about at the end of Parshat Noach, when we come across Avraham and Sarah for the very first time. Shine emar, vayikach Avram et Sarah yishto. Avram took his wife Sarah, and what did they do? They left Haran, and they went el haaretz asher areka, just like we learned at the beginning of Lech Lecha. Avraham his kin, vehil bin, mazehil bin, Lavan, starting a white hair. Vehishchir, then all of a sudden he got dark, vechazel yaldusa. And he looked like somebody with a fresh set of hair, all black. He went from completely gray or white to black. V'sara hizkina v'hilbina v'hishchira v'chazra yaldusa. Shine emar v'Avraham v'sara zikenim. And what happened? Na'ase Avraham kibachur. Na'asa Sarah kibitula. Nikbitsu alein kol ba'ei ha'olam. Everybody gathered. My, Abe, what happened to you? Who's your hairdresser? V'amru, ma tivan Shebo'u kol osim osan ma'asim al yideichem. What could possibly explain all of these physical phenomena? Your hair, your the strength, the way you look, and so on and so forth. Miyad yashav Avraham v'siper lohem kol ma shahaya lo ba'olam me'ur kazdim va'adot ha'sha'ah. So Avram would tell his whole history of what happened to him in Ur Kasdim until this very time. Shene Emar, Mi Heir Mi Mizrach, who awakened people in the east, Tzedek Yikra'eo Liraglo. V'kevan Sheshamu Mimenu Divrei Torah, Him Lichuhu Aleihem. Once they heard these incredible words of Torah that he taught these people, they decided to crown him and make him as if he is their king. So this Tana de Bei Eliyahu is trying to, what is he trying to explain? How did Avraham suddenly attract hundreds of chassidim? They just went over, they decided, he attracted people based on this physical phenomenon change. Here you have somebody living amongst us, looks like a 100-year-old guy, and the next day he wakes up, he looks like he's 25. So he told them, you know, I encountered a god, and this god made me look young again. And he told them whatever he wanted to tell them. And as a result, he was able to attract all of these, instead of relying on the fancy, they tried to go ahead and, you know, prove to them through intellectual discussions. Remember we made the point that what was the function of the Mizbeach at that time? It was a platform to preach, not to offer korbanot, because there was nothing there in many of the places where he built the Mizbeach. The text never said that he brought a korban. So the Mizbeach was just a high platform where people went and preached. Try today to winning over somebody to Yahadut because you're a preacher. You're wasting your time. But somebody who was 100, looks like 25, that's something to attract people. And the Pasuk, V'Avraham V'Sarah Zekenim Ba'im Bayamim, is now being used by the Tana de Bei Eliyahu as something that had happened, seems to be a lot earlier, but it's part of the success that Avraham had was by this physical change in appearance, which ultimately attracted many wayfarers to him. To him. He's explaining that when this happened, when this change happened, it happened at a much earlier time in his life. We're going to believe that it happens right now.
Right.
According to this Tana Bei Eliyahu, it happened when he left Ur Kasdim.
Oh.
Long time. Beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Yes.
That's how
he suddenly became a magnet to attract people. That part I like. But how do you have any evidence that this event took place earlier is a little lacking in that particular Midrash. What? Okay, so then that's why I have the next page is the Riva, who uses, if you look at the top for a second, just because you asked the question, look at the top of page 0 on the second line. And what does he say? Sari, Ein Mukdam Mu'uchar Vatorah. Don't get so upset that this is out of order. That happens all the time. Torah is out of order. So it's reporting it here, but what happened? It actually took place a lot earlier. Yes.
That doesn't really make sense. Here it makes sense.
Of course it does.
Going to have children,
I know. That's why it's a medrash.
But I thought a medrash is trying to answer.
Yes.
A problem. So what is the problem?
The problem is how did he succeed in getting people to attract to come to him? He leaves Ur Kasdim just with his clan, and all of a sudden, the et hanefesh asher asu b'charan. What power of attraction did he have to get hundreds of people?
I understand that, but isn't it a bigger problem? How
yes.
People could be
yes. I grant you that. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue with Sarah's laughter and how one of the great stories in Talmud, how Talmai, the Greek, asked the Torah to be translated by 70 people, and this pasuk is one of the earlier ones where they all changed the translation. Vatitzchak Sara b'kirba le'mor. Next pasuk.